I thought it might be helpful for you to be able to see the questions that I'm thinking of rather than me just mentioning them to you. So my thought was that it would be helpful to project it. There we go. Okay, one of the things that you might need to take note of, can you see this? Or should I make it? Okay, I see a few no's. There. Better? Okay. So as we said yesterday, we're going to try and go through a few practical ones and then generally one exposition, but there is so much good stuff in Exodus 2 and 3 that we have two exposition questions. We had to limit it there. But here's kind of what I'm thinking. You might notice my page numbers are a little different. We found that last night when going through with the group leaders. Mine were generally 3 pages ahead of everyone else's. So yours might be page 20. So just heads up on that. Here's kind of what we're looking at as far as the practical goes. Page 23, the section, he showed himself unto them, question 2a. It talks about Moses forsaking Egypt. And I think what's helpful about this is to actually ask yourself, why was it that Moses needed to forsake Egypt? So consider that there was Joseph, who was in a similar kind of position, and it didn't seem as though he did need to forsake Egypt. So how do you kind of fit that together? Why did Moses need to forsake Egypt? And when would we find ourselves in the same kind of situation? And how do we forsake it as well? So that's right at the beginning when Moses is leaving Egypt behind. The next idea is on page 25. He showed himself unto them once again. Page 22, perhaps, for you. Question 8a, Moses avenged him who was oppressed. Consider what possibilities would have been more godly. Now, I think that this is an interesting thing to think about, in that Moses killed the Egyptian, and it doesn't appear as though that was what should have been done. It seems like there's some reason that doesn't work well. This was his attempt to show himself as the deliverer. And yet, somehow, it doesn't work quite right. And I think what we might want to touch on here is maybe it was the right thing to do, but maybe the issue was his attitude. So just have some discussion about that as to what would have been the better thing for Moses to do, and then how does that apply to what we do in our lives. Then, jumping forward 12 pages to page 37 or 34, Moses says, he sees the bush, the burning bush, and he answers, "Here am I." This is a major thing for us to consider. And that is, how do we create that "here am I" attitude in ourselves for ecclesial service? And we're going to see that come up in discussion group number 2 as well today. But there are so many opportunities to work in our ecclesia, to work in the truth. And so often we find ourselves saying, "Oh, too busy, oh, too tired," whatever it is. How do we create that "here am I" attitude? How do we create an attitude in ourselves that says, there's something that needs to be done? Sure, I'm on it. All right. Now, as far as exposition, this one is an overachiever question, because you'll notice that it's question 2A, B, C, and D. So I thought that this part of the workbook was really interesting. Basically, what they're attempting to do is get you to compare when Moses killed the Egyptian and when Moses was at the well in Midian. And I think the writers of the workbook were trying to show that Moses continued to have this attitude that he would be the one who would bring salvation. He would be the one who would save the people. And so he kind of brings that out at the well in Midian. So think about that and kind of just mull over the question of how do angels continually bring these same trials into our lives to shape us no matter where we are. So I think this expositional question very nicely leads into a practical question. And this question you could probably spend like the entirety of your group on. Non-consuming fire. Can you think of any other instances of non-consuming fire? There's a few of them. And then the question is, this is the best because it's a why question. Question is, why was the bush not consumed, and what did it mean to Moses? Why was the bush not consumed, and what did it mean to Moses? There's Moses standing in front of a bush that's not consumed, and I think immediately he recognizes there's a lesson, there's a meaning in this for me. Right? God could have revealed himself in any kind of way, and he's done that multiple times. Moses could have had a dream, something like that. He could have appeared just as an angel and spoken with Moses, but for some reason, God decided to appear as a bush. Right? God appeared as a bush that was on fire and not burning up. There's got to be a reason for that. So think about that. All right, ready for discussion group two? No, I can't leave this on the screen, so take pictures of this or whatever you need to do. All right, there's only two practical ones because I gave you two expositional in the last one. So, page 44, this is talking about, oh my Lord, I'm not eloquent. Question four, Moses uses his weakness as an excuse. Sometimes we find ourselves thinking things like, well, God has given me talents, therefore that is what I have to do in the ecclesia. And so when somebody comes along and they say, hey, we have this seminar that needs to be done, and we say, oh, well, you know, I'm really good at other things, I'm not good at doing seminars, therefore, sorry, find somebody else, right? And we think like this, how do we get past making excuses? How do we get past making excuses? And how do we get past using our talents as a crutch? I'll tell you about this because I just think it's kind of crazy. The Christian world, right, this is mainstream Christianity, really focuses on this idea of you have talents and so you must use them for God, right? And that's all that you do in life, right? We aren't called to be, somebody said last night, I thought that was good, we aren't called to be specialists, right? We're called to be servants. And so we see a need in the ecclesia, we do it. And so what the Christian world has done is they say, well, you know, whatever talent you have, use it for God. And so there's actually this group called Team Impact, and they are bodybuilders for Christ. And so they go around and they like break blocks of ice in front of people, you know, and they pray, give me strength or whatever. And they like break this ice. And then, you know, all these people come and bow down at the altar. And it's ridiculous, right? Like that is not the point. The point is not about, like, yeah, you have talents, use them for God, that's good, but recognize when there's a need, we need to be filling the need. It's not, oh, that's not my talent, and I only focus on my talent, right? It's not like that. So have a little bit of discussion about that. Here's the last practical question. This is about Aaron being sent to help Moses. Do you feel as though God has given you someone in your life that has really been a help to you like Aaron was to Moses? And how can you then do that for others? So think about that. Here's the final exposition question. Think about the name of God. There's a little section on the name of God. It's about half a page in the workbook. I think it's a very useful thing to spend some time talking about, to talk about what it means for us today. Why is the name of God significant? And what did it mean to Moses at the time? Because God reveals himself. You may have noticed it when we read Exodus 3. God said, he reveals himself by just saying, I will be who I will be. Right? Moses says, what's your name so that I can tell the people? And God says, that's my name. Tell them and they will know who I am. So for some reason, that name had a very strong significance to the children of Israel. Why did it have that? And then what does that mean to us today? There's a lot to talk about today. This is a very large section. I do not think you will run out of things, and I think there are a huge number of lessons that we can share and we can take from this to change our lives. So, you ready? Let's go out. Let's go do it.